From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. While the Juneau School District Board celebrated its newly elected member Martin Stepton yesterday, the district continues to face the tough challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic. Estimates show the district will lose hundreds of thousands of dollars this year. Superintendent Bridget Weiss says that's because the district lost nearly 11% of its enrolled students.
So, rough calculation, we're still running numbers by other people to make sure because it is complicated, but we have a rough estimate of about $358,000 loss.
That doesn't exactly mean fewer students are in class this school year. Many enrolled in the district's Homebridge program,
where we normally have about 35 Homebridge students. We now have over 400 Homebridge students.
The district is receiving some aid from the state because of a provision of Alaska's public school funding that covers them if a loss in enrollment is greater than 5%. The district is also requesting additional aid in CARES Act funding from the city and borough of Juneau. Juneau Democrat Andy Story is facing a challenger for her seat representing the Mendenhall Valley in the Alaska House of Representatives. Economist Ed King is running as a nonpartisan candidate. KTOO's Jeremy Shea listened in on a candidate forum earlier today where the state's fiscal crisis dominated discussion.
The candidates are generally aligned on a lot of big goals. The Alaska Marine Highway System should be improved, the state's budget needs to be balanced, the economy needs to be stabilized, and the Juneau Access Project, also known as the road, should go forward. But there's contrast in how they'd get there. For example, Story says she'll vote for the ballot measure to raise taxes on oil companies to help with the state's budget. She says it's not perfect, but that it's too difficult politically for lawmakers to pass oil tax legislation of their own that would survive the governor's veto.
And I believe it would spur the legislature to clean up this ballot measure one that would get the governor's support and be a reasonable middle way that would be sustainable to the oil companies and Alaska.
King says he voted against it. He suggested it would help in the short term, but would cause bigger fiscal problems in the long run.
Well, that's not a good fix. That's not a fix at all. That's just kicking the can.
He also had problems with the idea that the regular lawmaking process was a non-starter.
We've amended the oil tax law 6 times in 14 years. The idea that we can't have a conversation about oil taxes is asinine. We have that conversation every single year.
Both candidates say it's appropriate to use permanent fund earnings to pay for essential government services.
And that is what we are using as our main source of revenue right now, is our permanent fund earnings. We need to protect that. We do not need to go over the sustainable draw. Now we have to decide about how big should a permanent fund dividend be.
She cautioned against paying out bigger dividends because that may force Alaska to become a high tax state to pay for government services. King says making policy on how to split permanent fund earnings between dividends and the government should be more bottom up. The public should be more directly involved.
We need to involve them in that conversation and recognize, the people will recognize, that if we want to continue to pay a full PFD according to the statute, that's probably going to mean we need to do something different with our taxes or budget. And so let's include the people. Let's have that conversation. Let's be grown-ups.
One thing Story is proposing is new state bonds.
We need to get people to work. I propose putting a statewide general obligation bond on the ballot to address deferred maintenance and infrastructure needs.
She suggested targeting road, marine highway, and airport projects that federal dollars can largely pay for, plus economic development projects. In terms of personal legislation, King's top priority is the ferry system.
I intend to pre-file a bill that establishes the Alaska Marine Highway Corporation. I think that that is the most critical thing for Juneau. We have to fix the governance of our Alaska Marine Highway system, and it's got to happen.
One of the main planks of King's pitch is that he's better suited for dealing with the fiscal crisis at hand. That's because of his experience and expertise as an economist who's worked in 3 different governor's administrations. Story's main credentials when she was first elected to the State House were her longtime leadership on the Juneau School Board and the Association of Alaska School Boards. On an education question, King described goals, but says he deferred experts like Story on how to achieve them. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
More election coverage and resources are available at ktoo.org/elections. And don't forget, join KTOO for Debate for the State. Our partners at Alaska Public Media and Alaska's News Source have teamed up to produce a two-night event featuring Alaska's candidates for U.S. House and Senate. First up, Representative Don Young will face Elise Galvin at 8 p.m. tonight. You can watch that on KTOO 360 North or online at ktoo.org/TV. In other news, city staff say skateboarders are causing problems on Juneau's downtown docks. They want to restrict skateboarding and some other activities along the seawalk. Dozens of skaters showed up to push back against the idea during a committee meeting last night. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more.
City Harbor Master Matthew Cresswell says the issue is about safety and a small group of people damaging public property.
We really don't know how many people are down there doing it the right way and being safe and polite and not causing problems in that area. But it's very obvious when someone isn't doing it right.
Cresswell says over the last few years, he and his staff have noticed skateboarders weaving among crowds of tourists in the summer. Cement benches along the seawalk have been damaged, too. He says most of the time, it's the same people. That's why they're asking the Docks and Harbors Board to consider updating a 2014 ordinance that restricts skating to include the seawalk and bus staging areas. Board member Chris Diamond suggested that rather than punishing all skateboarders, the city could create areas nearby where they're encouraged to skate safely.
It would not be a skateboard facility, but it would still allow that if someone's passing through or someone's down skateboarding in an evening when there's no tourists in town, that if they're in that area, that they're not going to be damaging our facilities.
Diamond, whose 11-year-old stepson also wrote to the board to oppose the skating ban, proposed the city meet with skateboarders to talk about the possibilities. Years ago, when a similar conversation was happening in the community, skateboarders worked together with the city to build a skate park in the Mendenhall Valley. On Wednesday, skaters of all ages testified against restricting their access downtown. Ryan Cortez pointed out that unlike other sports that require expensive equipment and facilities, skateboarding is accessible for people of all ages and backgrounds. He said restricting not just skateboards, but scooters, longboards, and rollerblades is unfair.
I'll be honest, I'm one of those people that grind that ledge, but I don't think that because of five of us that are able to actually do those activities on those ledges, that literally everyone else should be punished for that.
Several people said the Valley Skate Park can get crowded and is sometimes too dark. Wayne Smallwood said the docks are one of the last legal places for skateboarders to go downtown. He said healthy activities are already limited because of the pandemic.
I think it would be nice to actually have the skate park upgraded and maybe put some money into that because there's a lot of kids that are in quarantine now. There's nothing to do.
Jennifer Gross teaches roller skating and likes to skate along the seawalk on summer evenings.
That area of downtown is just a really smooth area. There's not a lot of nice, smooth places for roller skaters can learn and begin on their roller skates.
The board ultimately asked City Harbor's staff to meet with other departments to talk about alternatives, and they plan to form a committee to work with skateboarders. Any decision to restrict or ban skating along the waterfront would have to be made by the Juneau Assembly. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
The Grocer Alaska Commercial Company, also known as AC, has been fined more than $20,000 by the Federal Department of Labor for child labor violations. Investigators from the Federal Wage and Hour Division found that in the AC stores in Alaska, there were 30 workers between the ages of 14 and 15 working outside of the legal amount of hours allowed by the government. Those violations include working more than 8 hours a day or more than 40 hours a week during the non-school periods. During the school year, that threshold drops. Workers younger than 16 are supposed to work no more than 3 hours a day or 18 hours a week. In a statement, Wage and Hour Division Director Thomas Silva wrote, quote, "Child labor laws exist to strike a balance between providing a meaningful work experience for young people and keeping them safe on the job, ensuring that work does not jeopardize their health, well-being, or educational opportunities." AC Vice President of Operations Walt Pickett says most of the violations came from three stores and involved students working shifts after school. Children under the age of 16 are only allowed to work between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. In a statement, Pickett wrote, quote, "We are confident that it was an unintentional error and have retrained all our managers on proper labor protocols involving minors." Anchorage-based AC operates 33 grocery stores across Alaska, mostly in more rural communities. This is KTOO News, and I'm Pablo Arauz Peña.